Now, we've seen that universal religions tend to become ethnic religions. We've seen that this is due to the operation of what I call the gravitational pull. But we should not therefore conclude that universal religion can or should cut itself off from ethnic religion. This would be going too far. This would be going to the other extreme. Just as the ethnic has branches in the universal, so the universal religion has roots in the ethnic. And this brings us to another very important concept, the concept of the continuity of ethnic religion and universal religion, the one gradually developing into, merging into the other. And this is, of course, a special aspect, a particular aspect, a limited aspect, of the continuity of the whole evolutionary process itself, advancing and ever advancing in one continuous process from lower to higher levels of being and organization. Unfortunately, it's very difficult to see this continuity of ethnic and universal religion in the West. And why is this? This is because the continuity of our religious life was interrupted, disrupted, by the advent of Orthodox Christianity. Whatever Christianity went in the West, first of all within the Roman Empire, afterwards outside, wherever it went, for instance, in these islands, paganism was ruthlessly destroyed. Pagan images were smashed. Stone circles were damaged. Sacred groves were cut down. Priests were killed, and so on. So nothing survived in these areas, nothing survived in this country of paganism after the advent of Christianity. It was destroyed practically root and branch. If it did survive at all, it survived in rather negative and distorted forms, such as those of what is popularly called witchcraft. And what's the result of all this? The result is that we today can look back in this country, in our religious history, 1,500 years. We can trace it all back. The Oxford group of the last century, the Methodist revival before that, Puritanism before that, the medieval church, the beginnings of the church in this country, we trace it all back 1,500 years, right to the introduction of Christianity itself. And beyond that, before those 1,500 years, nothing. Before that, only an abyss of darkness in which we see hideous shapes vaguely swarming. An abyss, we may say, from which we've been taught, we've been conditioned to shrink back in horror, because this pre-Christian darkness, this is the abyss of paganism. So we can't feel our own roots, as it were, deep down there. There's no continuity with the past, and we're not aware of this. We don't know that we've been deprived of this, but it isn't so in the East. Take the example of a modern Indian, a young Hindu, say, of today. He can look back into the past thousands and thousands of years. He can look back into the great saints and reformers of the last century, the medieval mystics, the early medieval philosophers, back into Buddhism, back into Puranic Hinduism, back into Vedic Hinduism, back into the primitive cults before that, back and back, one single uninterrupted process, one single uninterrupted evolution. You can trace back, follow it, right back into the dawn of history and beyond, until that line of evolution loses itself in the mists of the past. The modern Hindu can feel his continuity, as it were, with the Vedic rishis living hundreds, even thousands of years before Christ. And this surely is a wonderful feeling, to be able to feel that one's roots, one's religious roots, go so far back, go so deep down. It's just like a flower, as it were, looking down into its own roots, looking down into the soil, looking down into the earth, and feeling them all. But in the West, there's nothing like that. Not for anyone in any Christian country. In the West, it's like a flower without roots, a flower in a glass of water, or even, we may say sadly, an artificial flower. Because continuity has been lost. Continuity with the past. Continuity with our own religious past. Our own special brand of paganism has been lost. And this, I feel, this link, must be restored as far as possible. And it is very important, and many people are beginning increasingly to recognize that it is important. important that the old myths, the old legends, the old beliefs, the old practices should be studied. Not just in a scholarly, academic manner, not just as so much grist for the academic mill for churning out yet another thesis, but to get the feel of them, to be able to feel one's way back, as it were, into these old myths and legends of this country thousands of years ago. I remember once at a meeting, I think it was down in Portsmouth at an art college, someone asked me the question, what must happen before Buddhism can really flourish in this country? What must happen before Buddhism can really flourish in this country? And I replied, on this occasion, feeling in a rather jovial mood, that there must be a revival of paganism first. And everybody thought I was joking, they had a good laugh about it. But one young man thought I might not be joking, so he came round to see me privately afterwards, and he said, did you really mean that? And what did you mean by it? So I said, by paganism I meant freedom from Christian conditioning in moral matters, especially with regards to sex. But I meant also much more than that. I meant that we must re-establish contact with our own religious roots.